Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up for the Paralympics, the multi-sports festival for disabled athletes, which officially ended Sunday in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. At a news conference in Rio, International Paralympics Committee President Sir Philip Craven had this to say.
You know, with 2.1 million tickets sold now, the second highest ticket sales ever at a Paralympic Games, the quite amazing athletic performances in all of the sports that has come together and it's created brilliant games for the spectators, for the television, for the social media. We've never had such high figures. So worldwide, it's had a massive effect. And in Brazil, they've taken us to their hearts and we've taken them to ours.
There were heavy hearts in Brazil following the death of Iranian cyclist Bahman Ghalbarnejad on the final weekend of action at the Paralympics. The 48-year-old Ghalbarnejad died after crashing during the men's C45 road cycling event. Reports say the Iranian cyclist suffered a head injury during a collision with a rock on a mountainous stretch of the circuit in Pantal, a small peninsula and beach area in western Rio. Ghalbarnejad received emergency treatment on the course and was in the process of being transported to a hospital when he died of a heart attack. The International Paralympic Committee's Media and Communications Director is Craig Spence.
This is the first and hopefully the last death we've had in Paralympic sport at a Paralympic Games. But accidents happen in sport, and we have great medical care at all our world championships and at the Paralympic Games. It's just very tragic that in this case someone has lost their life. There's an investigation that we launched immediately between Rio 2016 and the UCI. We will all take learnings from what that investigation tells us. That's why you do an investigation, and we will try our hardest to ensure that this never happens again, and we will respond to the learnings from that report.
As officials investigate the death of Bahman Ghalbarnejad, let's also reflect on and salute his life. He was a veteran of the Iran-Iraq War and lost his left leg when he walked on a landmine. A few years after his injury, Ghalbarnejad turned to powerlifting and won 12 gold medals and 1 silver in international competitions. He stopped weightlifting due to a shoulder injury and began cycling in 2006. Once again, here's International Paralympics Committee President Sir Philip Craven.
The Iranians have asked for two things. One is to expedite the repatriation of Bahman's body to so it can be with the family in, I understand, in Shiraz in Iran as soon as possible. And of course, the Iranians want a full explanation as to what did happen. That's something that I've stressed very clearly to both the organizing committee and to the UCI.
Taking a look at the final Paralympics medal table in Rio, China led all countries with 239 medals, 107 gold, 81 silver, and 51 bronze. Britain was next with 147 medals, followed by Ukraine with 117 medals, and the United States with 115 medals. The top performing African team in the Paralympics was Nigeria, which won a total of 12 medals, 8 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze. that put Nigeria in 17th place overall on the medal table. Looking ahead, the 2020 Paralympics and Olympics will be hosted by Tokyo.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Well, you might say this is Olympic season. The Paralympics ended Sunday in Brazil, and the Olympics just a few weeks earlier in Rio de Janeiro. Other Olympians are competing this week just outside Washington, D.C. Now, these athletes may not set any speed or strength records, but their spirit is the same as the Olympians in Rio. Do your best. VOA's Carol Pearson tells us about the Northern Virginia Senior Olympics.
On your marks.
The competitors at these games are at least 50 years old. Many have participated in the Senior Olympics for years. 77-year-old Herb Levitan has been a regular since 2005.
I like the opportunity to work with other people, other seniors. The spirit is tremendous. Everybody's very supportive.
The retired neuroscientist says he never participated in sports in his high school or college days. But at these Olympics, he competes in almost 30 events, including cycling, swimming, basketball, and jumping, and has won countless medals. However, winning is not what he aims for.
I participate because it's a motivation for me to train and to stay in shape and to be with the people that I enjoy being with.
Mandy Whalen, the torchbearer at the opening ceremony, is 76 years old. She competes in almost every track event.
Because when I was young, I was not a good runner. I was always lost in all the races.
No longer. At this year's games, she has won 8 medals in her age bracket so far. The Northern Virginia Senior Olympics started in 1982 with 75 participants. This year, there are 918, 100 more than last year.
Well, I think that there's more older people living in this area, and I think they're more health conscious than they used to be.
Set.
The events, which take place throughout the area for 11 days, include typical Olympic sports and also some not so physical games.
The seniors like to, keep their brains working, so some of the new sports we had this year, Sudoku, Rummy Cube, and Spelling Bee, go after those, the seniors that are interested in those kind of skill activities.
Senior adults are encouraged to participate in the various events regardless of their experience. 90-year-old Marvin Bryant, who has difficulty breathing, completed the 800-meter walk carrying his oxygen backpack. This was his first time in the Senior Olympics.
I just wanted to see if I could do it. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
His fellow competitors agree.
It's fun. It's, you know, they say that showing up is 90% of life. And so if I can continue to show up, I'll be very happy.
For producer June So, I'm Carol Pearson, Arlington, Virginia.
Ethiopia's Olympic silver medalist Feisa Lelisa visited our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington last week. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Feisa got worldwide headlines last month after finishing second in the Olympic men's marathon in Brazil behind Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge. The 26-year-old Ethiopian athlete crossed his wrists over his head as he finished the race. It was a symbolic protest of the Ethiopian government's treatment of his Oromo people. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I ask Feisa, who had a translator with him, do you think your protest will help or hurt your athletics career?
I don't
believe that it's going to have any impact because I used to carry a lot of pain around, and now that is a bit lifted off my chest, and this could actually help me now. So I'm actually feeling better after I did what I did in Rio, and I was able to raise awareness about the issues that led me to those limits.
The Washington area has a very large Ethiopian community. In fact, I think it might be the largest in the United States, approximately 300,000 in the Washington area. How have you been received by the Ethiopian community?
Very overwhelming support, and I run into people on the street that I've never met or thought of meeting, and they will stop me and ask me to take photo. So, and there was also a huge dinner reception on Tuesday that was organized, and I met, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people in one place, and it was very overwhelming, and I'm really grateful for the support.
Finally, with such great support from the Ethiopian community here in Washington, Washington also has a vibrant running scene. We have foot races every weekend, top-notch training facilities. Would you consider staying here in Washington?
Unfortunately, this is not a high altitude that is ideal for the kind of training I want to do. As much as I would love to stay here and be with my family, it seems like I would have to move on to higher terrain when I can actually get back to the kind of rigorous training I have to do to be at this stage.
Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy your visit to the Voice of America.
Thank you so much for having me.
Olympic silver medalist Feisa Lelisa of Ethiopia speaking with us at our VOA studios here in Washington. Feisa received a special temporary visa to travel here to the United States from Brazil. Meanwhile, another Ethiopian athlete, Asefa Negewo, has set a new South African all-comers record in the Sanlam Cape Town Marathon. Asefa clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 42 seconds on Sunday, the fastest time ever recorded on South African soil. With his performance, the 31-year-old Ethiopian athlete also improved on his own personal best of 2 hours, 11 minutes, and 16 seconds, set in Bloemfontein, South Africa, last April. Kenya's Emmanuel Tirop Keter finished 5 seconds behind the Ethiopian, and he also set a personal best, as did fellow Kenyan Barnabas Kiptum, who was third in 2 hours, 9 minutes, and 21 seconds. British runner Tish Jones won the women's race in Cape Town in 2 hours, 36 minutes, and 13 seconds. South Africa's 1992 Olympic silver medalist at 10,000 meters, Elana Meyer, was the official race ambassador in Cape Town. She said, "It's great to see such fast times being run on South African soil, which shows how much value a race of this stature brings to the sport at a domestic level." The Cape Town Marathon had a field of about 8,000 runners, making it one of Africa's most popular road running events. Now let's go to Denmark, where Kenya's James Wangari clocked the second fastest time in the world this year at the Copenhagen Half Marathon. Wangari crossed the finish line in 59 minutes and 7 seconds, knocking 7 seconds off the previous course record set by fellow Kenyan Bedan Muchiri. Muchiri was looking to defend his Copenhagen title, but he couldn't keep up with Wangari's aggressive early race front running and finished 5th overall. In fact, Kenyans took the top 7 places in Copenhagen. In the women's race, Ethiopia's Hiwat Gebremariam was the winner in 1 hour and 8 minutes.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60, and please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm on with you, calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny.
Welcome back. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, I know you were talking earlier on the show about the Paralympics, and those wrapped up last night in Rio de Janeiro at Maracanã Stadium. But there was a bit of a somber tone because of Iranian cyclist Baman Golbarnizad. On Saturday, he crashed during a race, went into cardiac arrest, and sadly died. Mm. And so there was a moment of silence at this otherwise celebratory closing ceremony for him. There were other ways that other teams were acknowledging him. Actually, I saw a tweet from the Kenyan Ministry of Sport where they offered their condolences. And among Iranian athletes at the Paralympics, the Iranian sitting volleyball team, they won gold against Bosnia and Herzegovina and actually brought a picture of Baman Golbarnizad up with them to the medal podium so that they could honor him in that way. So we saw a lot of different athletes. I mean, we talk about this, how athletics just generally, it doesn't matter what the specific sport is, but just being an athlete makes you part of a community. And that kind of transcends things like race or gender or nationality. And so you really did see that at the Paralympics. They were all athletes there, and they were honoring one of their own that was fallen.
Yeah, I'm sure they wish they could have ended on a more upbeat note, but nice tributes nonetheless in Rio.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, speaking of this community of athletes, it transcends all those things, but maybe not family. That's maybe one of the things that's even stronger than being in the community of athletes is actually being related. But in this story, we have both. It's the Brownlee brothers. They're triathletes. They were competing at the Triathlon World Series in Mexico. And Johnny, the one brother, was leading when he started to kind of wobble in the road race, the last part of the triathlon, and it looked like he was about to collapse.
Mm.
Well, his brother Alistair was in third place, and he stopped, grabbed him, held him, and ran with him to the finish line, carried him to the finish line. In doing so, Johnny ended up getting second. Alistair ended up getting in third. Johnny actually lost the world title by just 4 points by not coming in first.
Oh my.
But they finished the race together, and all of the social media comments that I'm seeing don't even talk about, you know, the fact that they came in second or third, or that he came that close to winning the world title. Just that it was a beautiful moment, amazing sportsmanship, that they are really brothers for life. You can tell that there's a great family connection there, and that they're true role models for other athletes, that when you see an athlete that goes down like that, you help pick them up. It doesn't matter if it's your brother or a stranger, you kind of do that. And then I saw this one tweet, I love this. It says, some men are born great, some achieve greatness, and some pick up their brother and carry him across the line, hashtag Brownlee brothers. So I thought that was really great. Jonathan actually tweeted out, he said, not I wanted to end the season, but I gave it everything. Thanks to his brother, Alistair. Your loyalty is incredible. So all those great words, loyalty, sportsmanship that we're seeing to describe these two brothers. And it was a viral video, too, seeing this moment. It wasn't just that it was described, people can actually watch it on social media as well.
Great moment. And I seem to remember during the Olympics, Andrew, kind of a similar story in one of the women's races where I think an American athlete went back to help a fallen competitor. And I think they both finished the race, but didn't win a medal, but it was still a great symbolic moment.
Yeah, there was a viral video a few years ago. Something similar happened at a U.S. high school track meet. There was an athlete who had fallen, tripped or something, and the woman who was in first place actually went back to go get her and help her across the finish line. And even though they came in last place, that's something I think that's worth more than a gold medal. And I think a lot of people on the internet would agree with that.
Andrew, National Football League has kicked off a new season. I think we're two games into the regular season now. Is the NFL trending?
It is, because it's kicked off a new season and a new way to watch football. This past Thursday, for Thursday Night Football, was the first time that you could watch the game on Twitter. So this was something that we had spoken about months ago when Twitter and the NFL first signed this partnership, but now it's come to fruition. It's actually been carried out, and the results so far are pretty promising. It was about, at any given moment, about 240,000 people watching on Twitter, a total of about 2.3 million tuned in for at least 3 seconds. That's their threshold for social media videos, 3 seconds.
Now, was it just one game they were showing? Or?
It was, and it was, I'm proud to say, my New York Jets against the Buffalo Bills. And the Jets won. The Jets won that game. But it's nice that the Jets can be part of this history. Now, the next 9 or 10 Thursday night football games in the season are all going to be on Twitter. Actually, the next one will be this Thursday that people can watch on Twitter. Between the, let's see, what is it? I don't have it here, but it's you can tune in and see that game this Thursday and in the subsequent weeks. But people on average watched about 22 minutes, which is a good chunk of a game to sit there in front of your phone or in front of a computer and actually watch something on a mobile social media platform. So it sounds pretty promising for the NFL. And mark my words, this is not the last we're going to hear of this. We're going to see in the next, you know, few years even, sports on Facebook, Twitter, all over the internet. I think it's really moving towards that direction. We have all our videos and TV shows we watch on the internet. Well, why not sports?
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the September 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Keith Holmes. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Humanitarian response, peace and security, and countering terrorism and violent extremism will be top priorities for the United States as its delegates join those of 193 nations during the high-level week of the 71st session of the United Nations General Assembly. The United States remains firmly committed to employing multilateralism to advance its national interests and promote a more peaceful, productive, and prosperous world. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for International Organization Affairs Sheba Crocker said events and activities throughout the week will advance key U.S. multilateral objectives. Humanitarian response will be at the top of the agenda when President Barack Obama, along with leaders from Canada, Ethiopia, Germany, Jordan, Sweden, Mexico, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, co-host the Leaders' Summit on Refugees. The President's Summit responds not just to the headlines of yesterday and today, but to the broader and enduring strains on the humanitarian system, said Assistant Secretary Crocker.
We expect that the summit will result in significant new sustained commitments to UN humanitarian appeals, expanded refugee resettlement programs or alternative legal pathways for admission, and new opportunities for refugees and their host communities to benefit from improved refugee access to education and to legal employment.
The U.S. will continue to support efforts to promote peace and security, relying on UN envoys to advance political tracks in Syria, Libya, Yemen, and other crisis-stricken countries. To this end, Secretary of State John Kerry will attend a Security Council session focused on Syria and will co-host a ministerial event on Libya, among other meetings. The U.S. will build on previous commitments to the UN peace operations, aiming to enhance the UN's ability to undertake conflict prevention, mediation, and peace-building activities, while at the same time promoting accountability for conduct for peacekeepers. The United States will continue to strengthen multilateral cooperation on counterterrorism and countering violent extremism, with emphasis on global initiatives to counter Daesh or ISIL, other violent extremist groups, and foreign terrorist fighters. We will also seek to enhance the UN's capacities to implement the recommendations of the Secretary General's Plan of Action to prevent violent extremism. The United States will also move forward with UN member states on a number of other issues of continuing importance, said Assistant Secretary Crocker. These include climate change, sustainable development, human rights, nuclear disarmament, and UN reform.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next. On Let's Talk, single parents' numbers are on the rise. What are the challenges they face and how do they cope with work and children responsibilities? Join host Sande Shomari and his guests discussing single parents. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, the 71st United Nations General Assembly is underway in New York, including a first-of-its-kind summit of heads of state and government to address large movements of refugees and migrants with the aim of bringing countries together behind a more humane and coordinated approach. We'll discuss that and other issues next, right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Do you know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.